Today's shiur is Masech Debal Basra Daf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom. Amamar. Amamar, we learned in the previous shiur, Hayos Sosum Bikesh Lepaschai. If somebody had a doorway leading to a mavoi, which was closed, it wasn't in use, and now this person who owns that doorway wants to open up that door and start using it, taught us the brisa, ain b'nei mavi makin alav. The people living in the mavi cannot protest and stop him. Says Rava, Amar Rava, lo shana shlei paratz p'tzimav. This then only applies if he did not remove the frame of the doorway. Aval paratz p'tzimav, once he removed the frame, the halach is b'nei mavi makin alav, the people who live in the mavi could protest and say, we don't allow you to open this up. Machlokes Rishonim, when we speak about the doorway having the frame removed, and therefore the person who owns that doorway loses the rights, is it only regarding a doorway to the Mavui? What about a doorway to a Chatzar? We also spoke about a doorway to a Chatzar. Will the same then apply? Many Rishonim say it should be no difference. Other Rishonim say that no, since a person's rights to a chatzar are much stronger than his rights to the mavui, by a chatzar, even if the frame were removed, that doesn't remove his rights. Another interesting machlokes rishonim, number of interesting machlokes rishonim, poshut on how to understand the Gemara, is, as we discussed at length in the previous shiur, a doorway actually gives me 2 rights. One, it gives me a right of 4 amos next to the doorway, that we described in the previous shiur, which gives me the room to load and unload my animal. And then we spoke about another 4 amos, which the Mishnah mentioned, in the chatzar. When we say that a person, by dismantling the door, not just dismantling the door, but dismantling the doorway, loses those rights, does that mean that he loses everything that a door brings? Or does it only mean that he loses the 4 amos next to the door, which we discussed in the previous year, I get for loading, unloading, so if this is entirely not a doorway, I lose that. But the 4 amos that I have in every chatzar for every door, I retain, or perhaps not. That's another machlokes rishonim. A third machlokes rishonim is, we were saying that once you remove the doorway, you lose your rights. Is that immediate? As soon as you lose your doorway, as soon as you remove your doorway, or is it only after 3 years, like every chazaka, as we've discussed and will continue to discuss, require 3 years. In the previous year, we actually said that the Rashba said it's a machloikas of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. What does it mean that we say somebody has rights of 4 amos in the chatzor? In the Mavri. And we gave 2 pshatim in the name of the Rishonim. One pshat is that that's considered my area, that I own that area. Chazal said that that's included in the area that I own. Or another pshat that we quoted was, it's not specifically my property, but Chazal gave me a right of ishtamshus, a right to use this area. So the Rishonim continue based on that machlokes in explaining our Gemara. And they say, according to the opinion, that it's a special right, a special schus, that Chazal gave me in this property. So if I put up, if I dismantle the doorway, I don't have that right. Chazal only gave me a right of ishtamshus where I have a doorway. Where I don't have a doorway, I don't have that special schus. Very easy way of understanding the Gemara. But according to the opinion, that it's not some special schus ishtamshus that Chazal gave me, but rather it's considered that I own those 4 amos. So ask the Mefarshim, so why, if I put up a doorway, if I dismantle the doorway, does it make any difference? That's mine. So what's the difference that I dismantle the doorway? So the way the Mefarshim understand the Gemara, according to that opinion, is that by dismantling the doorway, I'm being mafker. I'm giving up, like any situation of hefker, my ownership in that area. But if that's the way we have to understand the Gemara, so the Mefarshim make a very interesting observation. Let's start from the beginning. I have a doorway, and I own the 4 amos near the doorway. I go and I dismantle that doorway. So it's an act of hefker. But what's the halach in any situation of hefker? If I'm mafker something, and I am the first one to be zoich in what I was mafker, then it could become mine again. So ostensibly what could happen here is, by dismantling the doorway, I'm doing an act of hefker, but if nobody else comes first, I theoretically could be zoich in that area, and it'll become mine again. This halacha of removing a doorway is very relevant to Hilchos Mezuzah, because the din is that if you have a doorway in your home, even if it's a doorway you don't use, and even if it's a doorway that's blocked, let's say, by a piece of furniture, Darach HaShulchan says, if you have an actual doorway, you're mechuyev to put up a mezuzah on every doorway in your home. The Masham discusses an interesting shaila. He says, let's say we know that which side of the door do you put the mezuzah on? The right side entering the room. Derech Biyoscha. Now let's say there's a doorway, there's 2 doorways to your home. And you use one entrance during the winter and use another entrance during the summer. So you have to change the direction you put up the mezuzah. So he says, once you put up the mezuzah on one side, again using the concept that we just said, and you don't dismantle the door, so the halacha remains the same, as long as you don't dismantle the door, the mezuzah should remain where you put it. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abayla Rava, Tanya the Messiah, I'll prove to you this concept of removing the doorway has a place in halacha. By Yisosim, Sheesh Leidalar Amos, if you have even a doorway that's not used, the rule that we've been discussing, that every doorway gets Dalar Amos, remains. However, Parsis Pesum Tzimov, once you dismantle the frame, then Ein Leidalar Amos, you lose that Dalar Amos. And since we're speaking about these halachas, the Gemara speaks about a different halacha. Just a word of introduction. A kever, a grave. Chazal said, certainly if somebody comes in contact with the grave, or somebody's mahal, he rests over the grave, he becomes tameh. But Chazal, because they wanted to be sure, they wanted to make sure that nobody should come in contact with a grave, realizing that he becomes tameh, said the 4 amos around the grave, are tameh. Now, let's say we have Rachmana Litzlan, a mace in a house. So a house is not a grave. And the din of Dalar Amos of being within the house, wouldn't apply. The halacha, however, is that every doorway in the house, unless we know for sure through which doorway, if there's a mace in the house, the mace will be carried out, becomes tamei. Because there's always a possibility that that's the doorway that the mace is going to be carried out, and you will be under the same oil as the mace. If you know which doorway the mace will be carried out, so it's only that doorway that's matami. But let's say the entire house has no exit, no entrance and exit, so then the whole house becomes like a grave. And there the halacha of Dalar Amos of a grave is matama, and Dalar Amos of that house will be matami. And therefore, says the Gemara, by Sosum, if you have a regular house where the doorway is closed, the Dalar Amos around the house doesn't generate tumah. However, parts of Tzimov, if all of the door frames have been dismantled, so it now becomes like a grave, and the Dalar Amos around this house. We have alleyways that are used for people to walk to get from one city to the next. Or bikshu b'nei ir l'snoisam. And the people of the city, of one city wanted to close up those alleyways. B'nei oiso ir mavakim. The people from the other city could say, no, we don't allow this to happen because you're preventing us from being able to travel. And explains the Gemara. If there's no other way to get from one city to the next, the ma'akvi, that the people of the other city could say, we won't allow this to happen. Even if there's another way, nami ma'akvi, they could protest and say that we want this way, and we don't allow you to block the way. There is a machloikas apoiskim. Let's say there is a way to get from city A to city B. And the people of city A want to close up this alleyway. This is the second way. But the first way is anyway an easier way, shorter way, how to get from city A to city B. Some poskim say that Al Gemara says you can't close up a way, you can't close it up under any circumstances. Others say that the only time you're not allowed to close it up, I think the Sma says this, the only time you're not allowed to close it up is in a situation where this way carries with it advantages. But if there's no advantage to this way, because there's a better way anyway, maybe they can close it up. Says the Gemara. Mishun Rav Yehuda Amarav, the Amar Meitzach Shikha by Rabbim, if there's a way that people have already begun to use, Osl Kalkaloi, one can't undo that way. That means if people have started to walk on a certain way from place A to place B, nobody's allowed to destruct that way. Machloikas, two interesting machloikas in understanding this Gemara. One machloikas harishoinim is when we speak a meitzah shechziku by rabbim. So the Gemara uses the word chazaka. What constitutes a chazaka? Some rishonim say that you have to do an act of chazaka to make it into a path. Others say walking is enough. And now, the very interesting machlokes rishonim, very nagei la'aloch l'maisa. We have, let's say, there's a path that people have begun to use how to get from point A to point B. Al Gemara says that you can't demolish that path. Ask the rishonim, what is the circumstance that the Gemara is speaking about? Is it that there's a path, let's say, in my property that I gave permission to people to use to use as a shortcut how to get from point A to point B. And now the people have grown, says the Gemara, become accustomed to using it. And since they started using it brishus, with my permission, I can't stop them. But what would be the halacha if they never got my permission? They didn't get my protest, but they didn't get my permission. And it became already, people walked this way, they made the shortcut. But not that I really gave them any formal authorization. Does the Gemara's din still apply? Because it's a Meitzah Shechzikah by Rabbim. Or maybe Meitzah Shechzikah by Rabbim is only a case where they did it with permission. They did something without permission, and now it becomes non-reversible. It's hard to understand. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Anan Amar Shmuel, Mevoas HaMefaloshim Rishus Rabbim. We have these alleys that lead to the Rishus Rabbim. And now the people who live, whose homes open up to this mavi, want to put up doors to this mavi. Says the Gemara, the people who live in the Rishus Rabbim could say, no, we don't allow you to put up the doors. Why? Why would they not let them put up the doors? So I saw two explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation I saw in the Rishonim is that, this is the way most Rishonim learn, the doors that the people in the Mavi are putting up, they're saying, we're only putting it up for the night, for protection. The people from the Rishus Rabbim could say, we're concerned that once you put up those doors and you only intend to close them by night, you may leave them closed by day, which will prevent us from getting and using this Mavi, and therefore they could protest. Others say that the actual area that the doors take up limit the width of the use of the Mavi. And that's why they could say, you're limiting our access, and we're not agreeable. Says the Gemara, Savimineh, so they assumed, how far into the Rishus Rabbim, into the Mavui, could the B'nai Rishus Rabbim prevent us from putting up the store? Hanimil B'dal Ramas, the first four Amas entering into the Mavui, could Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Nachman, consistent with Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Nachman said, Domer Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Nachman, Dal Ramas Asmuchus Rishus Rabbim, which means as follows. Gemara, we learned to Masechta Soita. The concept actually comes up quite often. The halacha is as follows. Sofik Tumah, Rishus HaRabim, if there's an area in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim where there's a Safek Tuma, we make them. We consider it Tahar. Safek Tuma Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Tamei. What is the precedent for this? A Saita. A woman becomes a Saita, but she only becomes a Saita in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, not in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Says the Gemara that Rav Zeira said that the first four Amis into the Mavui that are adjacent to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim have the same din as the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and that a Safek Tuma that comes up in that area will be treated like a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Why? Because people from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, when the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is crowded, will go into that area. So they assumed that when the people from the, when the Al Gemara is saying that the people of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim could prevent somebody from putting up a door, it's in those Dalar Amis. Savimine, Hani Medili, in the Dalar Amis that are closest to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as Rav Zeira Rav Nachman said, Dar Rav Zeira Rav Nachman, Dalar Amis Asmuch Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the four Amis close to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, could Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Damim have the same status of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim like we found regarding Safek Tumah? However, says the Gemara V'loihi, it's not a good comparison. Hasam Linyan Tumah, regarding Tumah, we distinguish between the first four Amis and the rest of the area. Aval Hocha, here, there's a different consideration. Zin Nadakta Beib and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim V'ayla Tuvah, and therefore the entire Mavui, the people of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim who are accustomed to using, could stop us from putting up the doors. We learned in the Mishnah discussed when one partner could force the other partner to divide the field. So the Mishnah said, V'lo yisasad asher v'tish kabim l'zeh v'tish kabim l'zeh. The Tanna Kamma said that each one has to be left with nine kabim. Rabbi Yehuda said that it has to be left with an area that you could grow nine half kabim. Says the Rav Eloi Pligi. There's really no machloikas. Ma kasri. It depends on the quality of the produce. If it's an area that produces high quality, so nine half kabim is already considered a significant area. If it doesn't make such good quality produce, you need to leave over nine kavim. Ask the Gemara b'bavel mai. What is going to be in the bavel where the quality of the property is much lower? How much is considered enough that we could compel that one partner could force the other partner to divide? Amar Rabbi Yosef bei Raja Yoima. Each partner has to be left with an area that it takes a day to plow. Now ask them, we need to understand this. We need to give a word of introduction. Not that I'm a farmer, but as much as we could try to understand from the Gemara. The custom was to plow twice each property. They plowed it after they cut the grain, after they cut the produce. And then it was much harder to plow because the earth was hard. And they plowed it a second time when they planted the seeds for the new season. So ask the Gemara, when we speak about plowing, a day's worth of plowing, my Bei Raji Yoima, which day are we talking about? E Yoima Zara, if we're going to say what it takes a day to plow when we're planting, the second plowing, Trei Yoima Karbalai Hava. And we need to understand the following. They used to rent, hire workers, rent animals to plow the field. Now a worker, or somebody who's renting an animal, doesn't want to work for a half a day. And doesn't want to rent out a cow, doesn't want to rent the axe for half a day. Because what am I going to do with the axe the other day? So Gemara says it doesn't work. Because a day of plowing, the second plowing, when you're planting, is when you've plowed the first time, it won't take 2 days, but it won't take 1 day. It'll take about a day and a half. And that's a terrible loss. It won't equal up to 2 days of the first plowing. And what takes a day at the first plowing, doesn't take a full day by the second plowing. So this, how does it work that it should be economical? Says the Gemara, we are talking about a place where you plant. A day of plowing the first time is the karvatani, which means as follows. The first time we said it takes a full day to plow because the land is still hard. The second time, it's much easier to plow. But their custom was to plow twice. Why did they plow twice that time? First they plowed before they put the seeds in, and then they plowed to cover the seeds. So the two times are equal, they both take a day. Vibay Seima, Yoim the Zara Badure Davla. The day of planting, but we're talking about a place where you have to plow a lot, and again, they equal each other out. Omer Rav Nachman, Bei Davla, Yoima. When we come to divide a place, a pit, from which they irrigate the field, everybody has to have a day's worth of water that it should, again, be a worthwhile division. Pardesa, if we want to divide a vineyard, Amar Avudu Shmuel, Bas Shloishes Kavim. Everybody has to be left with an area that could produce 3 kavim of grapes. Tanya Mihochi, Haima Lechavera, Manus Bekarmani Meichelach. If I tell you I'm selling you a portion of a vineyard without actually identifying clearly how much I'm selling you, Simchas Omer, La Yivchas Mi Begimel Kavim. I shouldn't give you less than 3 kavim because that's the minimal amount of a considered a significant area in a vineyard. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Ein Ela Divrei Nevi'os. I saw 2 pshatim in Ein Ela Divrei Nevi'os, opposite pshatim. One pshat is, I don't know where you got this number from, he's saying. You made it up, like you can make up a prophecy. Or he was saying, what you're saying is gevaldik, it's like a nevuah. Ask the Gemara b'Bavel Mai, as we keep on learning, the quality of the land above all was lower than the quality in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, it's Kimel Kabim. What is the shear in Bavel? Amar Rabba Bakisna, Tlos Atziyosa, 3 rows, every partner has to be left with 3 rows, B'nei Treisa Guvni. B'nei Treisa Guvni that have in it each 12 vines. Which is the amount a person works in a day. Says the Gemara. Since we spoke about Divrei Nevi'os, the Gemara digresses to speak about Nevi'os. Says the Gemara. Amar Avdimi ibn Mechefa. Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash. From the day that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nitla Nevu'im and Nevi'im. The Nevi'im lost the ability to say Nevu'ah. But Nitla L'Chachamim. And it was given to the Chachamim. Ask the Gemara. Ot chacham lav navihu is a chacham, not a navi. A navi is a chacham could be a navi. Says the Mahakama. Kama. Abish nitl nevuim and a neviim. Even though the nevu was taken away from the neviim, mechachamim loy nitla. It wasn't really taken away from the chachamim. So the Ramban asks the obvious question: if a navi, the Gemara says in Masecht Nedarim, that one of the qualities a person has to have to be a navi is a chacham. So how can we separate that there's a concept of a Navi and a concept of a Chacham? So the Ramban, as the Chassam Sofer explains the words of the Ramban, understands the Gemara in the following way. There are 2 ways that Nevuah is said. One is that somebody has a vision, as much as we could say these words, somebody has a vision from Hashem and he's told to repeat that vision. And the other concept is Ruach HaKodesh. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that even though this situation of having a vision from HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer exists, Ruach HaKodesh still exists. And that's what the Gemara means when it says that Nevuah wasn't taken away from the Chachamim. Furthermore, I saw a vart from Chaim Kinyevsky, a beautiful vart. He says, Shabbos HaGadol, we read the Haftarah, the Navi Malachi speaking. Farvel Hashem, Michas Yehuda. And the Haftarah, Malachi, who was the last Navi, speaks about Zichru Tairas Moshe Avdi. Says Reb Chaim Kinyevsky, what was Malachi saying? Malachi was saying, I'm the last Navi. There will no longer be a Navi who's able to say Nevuah in the traditional sense of Nevuah. But, says Malachi, there is still a way to hold on to it, onto this Nevuah. You can hold on to Ruach HaKodesh. How? Zichru Tairas Moshe Avdi. Learn Torah, become a Talmud Chacham, and you will still have Ruach HaKodesh. In fact, there's a famous tshuva that was written to the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim writes, apparently, there was a Rebbe in a yeshiva teaching his students, and he said that they were talking, and the student said that the Sefer Aruch Chaim HaKadosh was written by Ruach HaKadosh, which the Aruch Chaim actually says so in his Hakdama. And the Rebbe said, there is no Ruach HaKadosh. Ruach HaKadosh no longer exists. And the question that was asked to the Divrei Chaim, should they allow this person to remain a Rebbe of yeshiva students? And Divrei Chaim says, whoever says that there is no longer any Ruach HaKadosh is an apikiris. And he bases it on our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that Nevuah still remains. And a person who doesn't believe in it should not be a Rebbe of yeshiva students. Says the Gemara, Amar Ameima, V'chacham Adav Minavi. A Chacham is greater than a Navi. Shenemar V'Navi Levav Chachma. Mi Nitla B'mi. Who is greater? Have a Omer Chatan Nitla B'Gadol. So I saw two beautiful pshatim, why a Chacham is greater than a Navi. One pshat, interesting, it's a Chazanish's pshat. Chazanish says as follows. A Navi, when does he say Nevuah? When he gets a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say Nevuah. When he doesn't get that message, he has nothing to say. A Chacham says Divrei Torah all of the time. Chacham Adaf Navi. Another pshat, a sharp pshat, is as follows. A Navi, if he's given a directive to say his Nevuah, he has to say it. The Gemara says the Navi Kavish Nevuah is Chayiv Misa, even though maybe he doesn't want to say it. A Chacham, what is the definition of somebody's a Chacham? He knows what to say, but more importantly, he knows what not to say. Chacham Adaf Navi, because a Chacham could hold himself back from saying something a Navi cannot. Amar Abaya, I prove to you, says the Gemara, that Nevuah still exists. Dama Gavu Rabbi Milsa, you could have somebody in earlier generation say something, and then and then you could have another Talmud Chacham say the exact same thing. How did they both say the exact same thing? They both must have had Nevuah. Amar Rava, my kasha, is that a proof? They both have the same type of intellect, and that's why they said the same word. Has nothing to do necessarily with Ruach HaKodesh. El Amarova, Teda. What's my raya that Ruach HaKodesh still exists? Domer Gavu Rabbi Milsa, a great person, Tam Chachin could say something. Umis Amra, Mishmei Der Bekiva by Yosef Kavasei. Now certainly nobody, the Gemara says it, certainly nowadays, nobody's on the Madrega Rabbi Kiva. So how did I say the exact same thing? Not I. How does the Tam Chachin say the exact same thing as Rabbi Kiva? It must be that they both had Ruach HaKodesh. Amar Vashi, Umay Kusha. Dim, Laham Milsar, Bamazlihu. Perhaps in this issue, in this one point, he has the same intellect as Rabbi Kiva. Not that he's entirely like Rabbi Kiva. So what's your proof? El Amar Vashi, Teda, the Amar Gavu Rabbi Milsar. Somebody could say some Dvar Torah. Umis Amra, Alochal Mesh Messinai Kavasei. And he says the exact same thing as Alochal Mesh Messinai. How did this person come to say Alochal Mesh Messinai? It must be because he had Ruach HaKodesh. Says the Gemara, what's the proof? V'dilma kesuba karuba. Let's say you have a person that's blind. A person blind never can't see. But sometimes he looks out and he can walk down the steps and not get hurt. Does that mean he could see? Of course not. So maybe this person said the Aloch Lamash Messinai. It doesn't prove that he has Ruach HaKodesh. He looked out. And that's why he was able to say it. Says the Gemara, you can't compare it. V'laf tamayov. If somebody just said it and he was lucky that he said the right thing. So there you could say it was just luck, like the Summa Baruba. But he gave an explanation. It must be because he had Ruach HaKodesh. Says the Gemara further, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nitla Nevuah min Nevi'im, the Nevuah was removed, taken from the Nevi'im, the Nitla L'Shoitim L'Tanoikis. It was given to the foolish people and to the children. Many Pshatim have said why it was given to the Shoitim and Tanoikis. One pshat, the Sefer Taras Chaim says this pshat is as follows. He says it with a mashal. He says, once there was a king who prepared a beautiful banquet for his advisors, for his ministers. And then he got angry at them, and he didn't want to invite them to a banquet. But all the food was prepared. So they asked him, what should we do with all the food? So he said, give it to the dogs and cats. Here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Nevuah in the world. If the Chacham aren't worthy of it, it's given to the Shaitim and the Naikas. Another pshat, the Gemara that I quoted earlier, Masechta Nedarim, when it speaks about the different characteristics that are required to have Nevuah, one of the characteristics that's required is that the person has to be happy. Who is happy? Children, shaitim, are always happy. So that's why they have Nevuah. A third pshat, maybe the least posh pshat, but the best pshat, is that Shaitim and Tanaikis mean people who act like Shaitim and Tanaikim, like when it comes to God's world. A child does what he's told, doesn't ask questions, doesn't have the intellect to ask questions. A Shaita has done what he's told, doesn't have any intellect. A person who accepts the word of Hashem, who accepts the word of Torah, without question, he's the person that now still has the Nevuah. And the Gemara proves it. L'shaita mahi. Ki ha de ma'aber of Ashi, they have a kai b'ristika de mechuzah. Ma'aber of Ashi was standing in the ristika de mechuzah. Shamala hu shaita. He heard the following shaita. The kama reish mesifta, the moloch b'mas mechusya. The person who's going to be appointed to be the Rosh Yeshiva mas mechasya, tavyu mechasim. Signs his name as tavyu emi. Omar. So he said about himself, Rabbi Rav Ashi said about himself, Man chasam tavyunim b'rabonim. Who amongst the rabbonim signs his name tavyumi? Ano! Shmamino l'didi kaim elishayta. It must be that this is a sign that I'm going to be appointed as Rosh Yeshiva. Kamasa. So he traveled to Masa Mechasya. Ada asa, as he arrived to Masa Mechasya, im rabbonim l'suvi l'rav achim edifta b'reisha. The Rabbanan had decided to appoint Rav Achmed Difta as the Rosh Yeshiva. Kiva the Shama, Dasa, but when they heard the Mabar of Ashi arrived, Shudder Zuga the Rabbanan Lagabei, Lemulchibei. Only out of respect, they sent a pair of Talmid Chamim to consult with him if their appointment was the right appointment. Akve. And he held back those Rabbanim, that pair of Talmid Chamim that was sent them, he held them, he didn't let them go back. So they didn't know what happened to the first pair. Shadda Zuga de Rabbanan. So they sent another pair. Shadda Zuga de Rabbanan Akrina. Akve Gabei. Again, he held on to them, didn't let them go back. Add the Molabei Asara. Until there were 10 Talmid Chachamim with him, with Ma'aber Rav Ashi. Kivan the Molabei Asara. Once he had these 10 Talmid Chachamim, Pasachu Vidarish. Vitana Vidarish. So he began to say a speech. And that speech was an inaugural speech that he should become Rosh Yeshiva. Lefish ain't paischem bekala, and as the Sma explains the Gemara, because to be appointed to the high position of Rosh Yeshiva, you have to have 10 people. And if you don't have 10 people, you can't be appointed. So, and that's how Ma'aber of Ashi got the position of being Rosh Yeshiva. Kar of Acha Nafshi, so if Acha said about himself, Kol Amarin Loi, Loi Mahir Mativin Loi. Whoever gets bad luck, bad fortune, it doesn't reverse itself. And here, he almost was Rosh Yeshiva. And he lost it. V'kala mativin loy, and whoever has good fortune, loy b'meher marin loy, doesn't lose it. And that's why Rav Ashi was able to get this position, and therefore, he's going to have it, and I lost my opportunity. So the Mefarshim are very troubled with this Gemara. Some Seifer says, Pshat in the Gemara is as follows. He says, Ma'aber Rav Ashi's father was Rosh Yeshiva. And Ma'aber Rav Ashi's father passed away, and they decided to appoint Rav Acha to be Rosh Yeshiva. Because they felt that the position of Rosh Yeshiva should not be given based on yichus, it should be given based on qualification. And they felt that Rav Acha was the biggest Rosh Yeshiva, was more worthy. But the halacha, actually says the Chassam Sofer, is that if the son is worthy to be Rosh Yeshiva, he has kedima, he has first rights over everyone else. And that's why Ma'aber Rav Ashi got the position over Rav Acha. I did see that the Mefarshim, the learned Gemara, just the opposite. They wanted to appoint Rav Acha to be Rosh Yeshiva because it was his father who was originally Rosh Yeshiva. And the lesson that was taught here was that no, this position is not given based on yichus, it should be given based on qualification. The other question that we need to understand, as we understand the Gemara, is we need to understand Ma'aber Rav Ashi. Here he sees that Rav Acha almost had it. He literally grabbed it out of his hands. How did he do it? Is that the way a Talmud Chacham acts? So I saw the Mefarshim explain that Ma'aber Rav Ashi, as the Gemara began, heard the Nevuah that he's supposed to be the Rosh Yeshiva. He heard the Nevuah that he was supposed to be Rosh Yeshiva. He knew that if Acha were appointed to be Rosh Yeshiva, when he's not really supposed to be Rosh Yeshiva, what would happen? He would die in order that Ma'aber Rav Ashi should get the position. So Marbar Rashi wanted to save Rav Acha. And that's why he did this, so to speak, act in order to get the position and save Rav Acha's life. Continues the Gemara. Tanoikis Mahi. Where do we see a situation where the Tanoikis had Nevuah? Kihad the Basra of Chizda Aviyasa Beknafe Davuah. She was sitting on the lap of her father. Havayasri Kame Rava. Rabbi Bachama. Both of these individuals were sitting there. Amalei man minayu boys. Who do you want should be your husband? Amalei tavayu. Both of them. Amrava v'no basra. I should be the second husband. The Mefarshim are very troubled with this Gemara also. It seems that Rava wanted to live longer, so he said, let Rabbi Bachama be the first husband, and then I'll be the husband. So Mefarshim explained, Rava knew that Rami Bachama will never agree to marry a divorcee. Rava, however, had no problem marrying a divorcee. Why wouldn't Rami Bachama marry a divorcee? Either because he was a Kayin, or because the Gemara says that according to Beis Shammai, one shouldn't divorce a woman and shouldn't marry a divorcee. So that's why he said, let Rami Bachama marry her first, and then I'll marry her, and that will work. If I'll marry her first, it'll never work, because Rami Bachama would not marry my divorcee. Amar Rav Dimi de Ben Chayfa. Kadim Shechel Adam VeYishta. Before a person eats and drinks, Yesh L'Shtei Levavos. So the Pasha Pshat, and that's the Pshat we're going to learn. A person doesn't have Yishev Adas. He's all confused. Lach HaShoichel V'Shoisa. However, after he eats and drinks, he is more settled. Ein Lo Ela Lev Echad. Shnema Ish Novav. Novav means an empty person, as we'll see in a moment. Yelovev has many hearts. The Ksiv Neviv Luchais. It was empty of the luchas. An empty person, a person who hasn't eaten, is confused. In fact, that's why the Mefarshim say, what is the Hebrew word for being confused? Bilbul. Bilbul is the opposite of lev. Somebody who's mevulbul doesn't have his heart settled. Actually, I saw that the Paiskim used this Gemara, lahaloch lemaitha. There's a famous shaila that's asked by Rabbi Akiva Eiger. We know there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The question is, are women obligated in that mitzvah also? On one hand, they shouldn't be. It's a mitzvah sasashas magrama. And women are exempt from all mitzvah sasashas magrama. On the other hand, why do we eat Erev Yom Kippur? Maybe women are obligated to fast on Erev Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur. So whoever is supposed to fast perhaps should have to eat. So Rav Avadya Yosef Nishalas Atshuvas Yichav Adas uses our Gemara to prove that women have to eat. He says, why is it so important to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Because the halacha is, he says, that on Yom Kippur, we're supposed to be mefayis. We're supposed to ask mechila and make amends with all of our contacts. That then applies to women too. And our Gemara just said that when are you in a better mood to do that? When you ate. So women who have to be mefayis should eat. The Divrei Chaim, this is the minig. The Ramah in the Darki Moshe quotes an interesting minig. He says, we know that a chassan and kala on the day that they get married fast. The Darki Moshe quotes a minig that not only the chassan and kala fast, but the parents should also fast. The Divrei Chaim says that you shouldn't follow that minig. Why? Because our Gemara said that when you're fasting, when you have an empty stomach, you don't have the proper yishuv adas. And here you're making a wedding, you want that the wedding should be nice, and everybody should be comfortable, so don't fast. Not only that, but the minig in Sanz, from the Divrei Chaim, is that even a chassan and kala, who fast on the day of the chuppah, should break their fast before the chuppah. Because they should not enter the chuppah on an empty stomach, based on this gemara, that somebody in an empty stomach doesn't have the clarity of mind. And here you're being a kaddish, a woman, kedushin has to have proper das, and therefore break the fast before the chuppah. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei de Yeshua, harogel b'yayin, if somebody drinks wine, but the Miri says not too much, afilu liba adam kipsula, his heart is closed up, yayin mefachoy. Wine, again, the same concept. Because the wine makes you feel good, it makes you have a clearer head. Shenemar v'tirosh yinoy v'psulas. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei de Yeshua, pshita, chelik b'char v'chelik poshet. Yavin le'achad metzra. Which means as follows. Simple situation. We have two brothers. And we know that but one is a Bechor and one is not a Bechor. We know that a Bechor gets a double portion of the Yerusha. So let's say the father left three fields. So the Bechor gets the two fields next to each other. You can't tell him that the other brother can't tell the Bechor, you get the two outer fields and I'll take the inner field. Ask the Gemara, Yavamai. Why is it going to deal with a Yavam? The Loch is the brother who's Meyabim, his brother's wife, gets his share of the Yerusha, his portion, and then he gets the Yavam's share of the father's Yerusha. So he also gets two portions. Is he treated like a Bechor or not? Amar Baya. He. It's the same thing. My Tama. Why is he treated the same way? Says Abai, because Bechor Kari Rechmana. The Torah calls a Yavam a Bechor. Rav Amar, Amar Kro, V'hoya HaBechor. HaViyasek Bechor. He's treated like a Bechor. However, when it comes to divide the Yerusha, Ein Chalukasek Bechor, we don't treat him like a Bechor. Says the Gemara. Who deserves an arrow? A mitzvah de Beinashia. Somebody bought a property next to his father's field. And then his father passed away. Kikor Palga. So now when they divided the Yerusha, Amalei, Palgali Amatsroi. Give me my portion, give me the field that I'm going to get as my inheritance next to the field that I already had. Amarava. So Rava said, the person has a valid claim, and that's what we should give it. So ask Taisvis, now that we learned that Kaifin Amidastayim is a reason that we should be nice to a person, so ask Taisvis, why did the Gemara have to say before that a Bechor is entitled to get his two portions next to each other? Because he's a Bechor, why do we have to say the reason because of Bechor? The Gemara just introduced a new concept, an old concept, of Kaifin Amidastayim. So Taisvis says, one Taisvis says, Kaifer Amidastayim is only Midrabbonim. The Bechor that he gets both portions next to each other is only Midaraisa. So he wanted to give a reason that works Midaraisa. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that there is no concept of Kaifer Amidastayim by a Matana. A Bechor is getting his portion because of a Matana. Here, he bought that area, that's where Kaifer Amidastayim applies. Maskula Rav Yosef, Amrlei Achi, Menleinenlei Eluya Knechse de Beit Marmarian. There's two pshatim in this line of Gemara too. Rav Yosef says, the brothers of Bechor says that I should get a certain piece of land because it's next to my existing property. Says Rav Yosef, maybe that's the choicest piece of land that the father left. So why should the brother, just because he already owns a piece of property there, be entitled to that best piece of property? So according to Rashi's pshat, that's Rashi's pshat. According to Rashi's pshat, when can the brothers claim that you shouldn't get that piece of land? Only in a situation where that piece of land is the best piece of land. And therefore, you can't say, because I'm a neighbor here, I have claim. But if that land weren't any special, didn't have anything uniquely special about it, then we would give it to the brother, even according to Rabbi Yosef. Taisvis disagrees. Taisvis says, other Rishonim say, this Ben Marion doesn't mean that we know specifically that this piece of property is better. We assume, you can never know. And maybe this piece of property will end up being the best piece of property that the father left. And why should this son be entitled to it? The Hilchasa says the Gemara indeed dialogues like Rabbi Yosef. Says the Gemara, Trey Arisa Atrey Nagri. The father left two different pieces of land by two different rivers. Amrav Rava, Kigoyin Zeh, Kaifam Midasudoyim. And one brother wants one piece of property because he has property next to it. Maskler Rav Yosef, why? Zim Dahai Midva Vahai Loi Midva. How could you tell this brother you could get this piece of property next to this river? And the other brother will get that property in next river. Maybe one river will end up flowing better than the other. And the brother who gave up that other piece of property will have lost. Rather, both pieces of property should be divided 50-50. That's the halacha. What's the halacha? Tate Chad Negra. But if they're both next to the same river, so either the river is going to flow or not. Here Rabbi Yosef says, the one that has a piece of property next to it has a claim on it. Maskul of Abaya, Matsu Amma, Binin da fish arisi, which means as follows. Let's say you have a brother that has a piece of property. And then the father, again, we'll make it a simple example, left two pieces of property. So the brother that already owns a piece of property wants the piece of property next to him. Says Abaya, no, the brother could argue, I want you to get the other end, and like that you'll have a lot of workers, and my property will be between your two pieces of property, and by default, I'll have benefit. Says Gemara v'Hilchos Krav Yosef, Afush Lamelsi, that's not a valid claim. One more line. Chad Gisanagra, V'chad Nisapagra, Palkenen L'Bekaren Ezol. Rashi, there's two ways of learning this Gemara, Rashi and Taisus. Rashi has, we have the example on Rashi, the diagram. One side has, going from south to north, has a river. The other side has an irrigation canal. So normally, how will we divide a piece of property? We either divide it from north to south, or from east to west. But if we do that, there's always going to be one brother that's going to get a lot of river and a lot of irrigation canal, and the other brother will get very little. The only way we could divide it fairly, says Rashi in explaining the Gemara, is dividing it in eight. Resh and Shin represent Reuven and Shimon. Dividing it into eight, everybody will end up with an equal amount of area next to the river, next to the canal, and next to nothing. Taisvis has an easier pshat. The diagram is in Taisvis, where we have the river in one corner, the irrigation canal in the other corner. So we divide it according to Taisvis in this diagonal that everybody gets an equal amount of river, an equal amount of canal.